Okay, this morning I want to finish up our series on the sacrifice of praise. And I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to ask you to be what God saved you to be this morning. I'm going to ask you to be somebody that offers the sacrifice of praise. And if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll look at the biblical title of the believer. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." Is it the building you meet in that makes you a church? No, it's the people that are a spiritual house. It says, you're a spiritual house, a holy what? I'm looking at some New Testament priests this morning. We are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Jump down to verse 9. You're a chosen generation. Here's another word. He says a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. If anybody has a reason to be excited, to be thankful, to be full of praise, it is Christians. He did not save us so that we could complain. He did not save us so we could quit. He saved us to show forth praise. So I'm standing in front of, also go to 1 Peter, I mean, always go to Revelation. We're in 1 Peter. Go to Revelation chapter 1. And just look at two more verses, verse 5 and verse 6. Revelation, last book in your Bible, chapter 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and, what's the next word? Unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So I'm standing in front of some New Testament priests, not like the priests of the Old Testament, not like the priests of the Roman Catholic Church. There is no hierarchy in the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head, and we're brethren. End of story. Jesus said, I'm the master, you're brethren. There's not these layer upon layers of bishops and archbishops and canons and monsignors. There is only Jesus Christ and the believer. Amen. And if you need to get access to God, you get access to God through Jesus Christ, not a human priest anymore. Amen. So we're looking at a different kind of priesthood. Jesus is our mediator. He can mediate between any person, anywhere, no matter how low or how far away. There's one God and one mediator between God and all mankind, Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. So if anybody needs to get to God, we can sort of point them in the right direction, but they need to talk to Jesus, amen? So He's the mediator. He's our high priest. Jesus actually said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by, not my church, but by me. So it's a whole different ball game, as they say, where I'm from. So all believers who have been born again by the Spirit of God have access to God right now. And I bet you haven't used it enough this week. I mean, if you had a lady, you always know when it's coming towards the end of the month, you know, the husband's holding on to every penny. And you're like, but we need this, we need that. Wouldn't you like to have a credit card that was bottomless? Wouldn't you slap yourself if you didn't use it? And honestly, we have access to Almighty God and we neglect it. So we can come before God without priests, without rituals, without religious ceremonies. We don't need to bring lambs or bulls or goats. We don't need to go to temples or present altars or have mediators. All we need is Jesus. Isn't that simple? I'm glad for simplicity. Amen. Now this morning, I've already said that, this morning I'm going to give you a short course on on how to be a good New Testament priest. Amen? So take some notes. As a matter of fact, I've got some handouts. Scotty, would you do me a favor and hand out on this side? Let me see. I'll finally put Andrew to work here. Hand out. And if you want one, you can take it. If you don't want, fine. I want to give you a short course on being a New Testament priest and how you're to make spiritual sacrifices of praise to God. As they're passing that out, get you one, hold on to it, get your biro out. Because there's a test at the end. Hey, you passed your test. No more complaining. Amen. Kathy's now no longer a learner. She took the L off her car. Amen. Well, she never was a lunatic. Trying to find another L word. I can't find it. It didn't work. I thought it was coming. Amen. Not a loser either. Just I was trying to find a word for hesitant driver. All right. Hopefully, as you get that, we're going to bow in prayer. And I'm glad you're here this morning. Appreciate the singing. Appreciate just that we get to meet together so the Lord can feel welcome too. Father, would you bless as we study? I bet a lot of people in this room didn't realize what you're trying to make them into. We're very content to have Pastor Craig do a lot of praying and preaching and soul winning. But that's not how it works. In the body of Christ, we all have a job and we all have a very important purpose and we all need to be busy. And in this room this morning, I'm not looking at bits and pieces. I'm looking at a body of believers. And each believer in this room is a priest. Has direct access to God, cannot absolve sins of other people, can't even absolve their own sin. But they do have a close relationship with you that others do not have. They have access before the throne of God, and what you seek from us is the sacrifice of praise. And we need to give it. So teach us finally one more time today about how to be a priest of the Most High God, someone who can offer not only the gift of praise, but the sacrifice of praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. First thing we need to talk about is, by way of background, now the message is going to be your test. When I get to the message, you're going to have to fill in the blank. Are you ready? So I got to give you the background before I give you the test, okay? First point of the background, everybody needs a good reason to praise, and I think we have some. Amen. I think we have a good reason to use this mouth for good. You know, one of the first reasons why you can praise God? Just simply because God is good. Look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Psalm 106 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. That sounds like a commandment, doesn't it? Doesn't say, if you want. It says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Why do I have to be happy? Why do I have to show joy? Because He's good. Amen? For He is good for His mercy. What do we deserve? I know I deserve hell. Maybe you're not that bad. Listen, we're all bad enough. We're not good enough for heaven. And there's no purgatory. Sorry to break your bubble. We're not good enough for heaven. And you think you're not good enough for hell, but tell you what, if you're not good enough for heaven, there's only one other place for you. And it's by His mercy that we have access before God through Jesus Christ. We praise God just because He's good. Psalm 86, go back a few pages to Psalm 86 in verse 5. For Thou, Lord, art good. There was a time where Jesus was approached by a man, and this man said, good Master, good master. And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and who's that? God. It's a great connection. The man had to think, well, am I talking to God? Because Jesus was good, amen. There was no sin in him, so he must be God. But the idea is, God is good. 86 and verse 5 says, for thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Aren't you glad he doesn't hold a grudge? Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. Psalm 145 now. To the right, Psalm 145 in verse 8. Psalm 145 and verse 8. The Lord is, what's that next word? He's giving, isn't he? He's somebody who puts up with a lot. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Ooh, I like those next words. Slow to anger. And of great mercy. And really, the Lord is good to all. And His tender mercies are over all His works. Say, why are you singing right? Why are you even excited? Why are you trying to sing there and try to sing loud in a whisper? Because God's good. Well, how was your week? Dreadful. Well, how are you doing it then? Because God is good. Amen? So what are you in church for? Didn't have a good week. I don't have to have a good week to be in a place where I'm supposed to praise God. Amen? You say, well, you lost your job. I mean, the goldfish died. The things didn't go right during the week. Amen. Why praise God? You have a very good reason. Because He is good and I'm still breathing. Amen? Secondly, because praise itself is powerful. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. See if you can find that. I ought to give you some messages out of some unknown verses in the Bible, like Hezekiah 4:12. You ought to find that sometime in your Bible. Hezekiah 4:12. Look it up when you're through. Amen. 2 Chronicles. It's not there, folks, okay? Just catch up with me, all right? There is no Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15. Did you know that praise can produce victory? Even before you've had the victory. Look at 2 Chronicles, not Corinthians, it's in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 says this. And he, am I in the right place? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And he said, hearken, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now they're getting ready to go into fight, into a battle. And listen, O thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. That's a good verse to put a star by. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and other children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Had they won the victory yet? Had they faced the enemy yet? It was the next morning when the battle would take place, and instead of waiting for the victory before they started to praise, they said, let's start praising now. Let's keep going. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning. And they went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. I mean, I'd be appointing weaponsmen, you know, and tank riders and Air Force colonels and stuff. And he said, I need you to sing. He appointed singers unto the Lord. And that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Look, these guys have got to have the greatest faith because Jehoshaphat, who's the king of the day, puts the singers up ahead of the army, the army behind them. They've got their weapons and they're marching along. And the guys in the front facing the battle first are those who are praising God. That's faith. Amen? Let's go ahead. They went up before the army at the end of verse 21 and to say, Hallelujah. Now that's the Hebrew. You didn't know that you could learn some Hebrew, did you? All throughout your Bible, praise ye the Lord is the word hallelujah. And that's exactly what they were up on the front saying. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come out against Judah, and they were smitten. God raised up a couple of other armies there who said, let's get on the fight. They didn't even know why they were there. And they fighted against the enemies of Israel, which are Moab and Amnon and all these other guys. And the battle was fought, and the children of Israel just sat there and watched it, and they went, wow. Let me tell you what they first did was they sang. So praise is an act of faith that trusts for the victory. Now, is it cold in here? Is everybody okay? You want me to turn the heat up? It feels, yeah. The heat is on. And I don't know, Dan, if you want to go ask them if they turn it off at the front desk. I mean, if I start feeling a little chill, I wonder whether you're feeling, because I'm usually quite warm. Praise is an act of faith. Secondly, praise actually stops sin in your life. Go to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. I'm trying to give you some reasons why you ought to every day of your life and all day long say it's more important for me to praise God. Psalm 7 and verse 14. Behold, here's a person struggling with sin in their life. Here you go. Behold, he travaileth like Carrie did, giving birth to a baby. Travail is anguish, struggle. Behold, he travaileth with, what's he struggling with? You ever struggle with iniquity? Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth lies and falsehood. He's made a pit and digged it, and is falling into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate, his top of his head. But I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Let me tell you, when somebody else has fallen into sin, you know what you need to do? Look up and praise God, because it'll keep you out of that pit. Thirdly, it focuses just on God. Look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 1. Praise, you know what praise really is? It's an appreciation of God. Okay? Praise is not an appreciation for anybody else. Now, you ought to praise one another. You ought to encourage one another. You ought to lift up one another. But real praise begins with God. And if anybody does ever praise you, direct it back to God. Amen? Look at Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. You know what he's doing? He's focusing on God, who God is in his life. You know Acts chapter 16. Let's go to Acts chapter 16, verse 25. I think if you start praising God enough, earthquakes happen. Did you know no earthquake ever occurred to a complainer? Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Acts 16, 25. Where is Paul and Silas at this point? Anybody know? They're in prison. Now, they're not just in any old modern jail with a TV on the wall internet on the side and three square meals a day. He's in the innermost prison. It is dark. There's no light there. They have rats running over their feet. They are sitting in their own excrement. They have their feet fast locked in stocks. They can't even get up. And what are they doing? Verse 25. And at the worst time of the night, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great what? So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And you believe your Bible? I believe my Bible, amen? You say, that's crazy. Hallelujah. I'll be crazy enough to just believe that praise to God in the darkest of time can shake the world. Foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. You know, praise can swing open some prison doors in your life. You say, I just feel like I'm in bondage. Why don't you praise God anyway? You say, well, I don't feel like it. Praise God anyway. Amen. This is part of your test. Hello. All right. Psalm 50, verse 23. Psalm 50 in verse 23. Did you know it pleases God when we pray? When we praise, sorry. It pleases God. I know faith pleases God. But did you know the proof of my faith? The proof of my faith, Jim, is not that I say I believe God. Okay? Because even the devils say they believe in God. So I can say I believe God. But the proof of my faith is whether I will praise God. Because look at Psalm 50 and verse 23. Am I right? Yep. Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Makes him feel good. And him that ordereth his conversation aright makes his words right. Will I show the salvation of God? It pleases God when we praise Him. In Psalm 22, last point here, why praise Him? Psalm 22, I think this is probably the most important. Out of all of them, I save the best for last. You know, the best reason why, besides the fact that God is good, the best reason why you ought to praise God, Psalm 22 and verse 33. Nope, just verse 3. Yes, that's it. I got a double 3 there for some reason. Psalm 22 and verse 3 says this, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. And if you don't have a life, a time, a way of living that experiences the presence of God in your life, I'll give you one of the three or four reasons why. One is because you're not praising God. Because He inhabits the praises of the believer. And I need that more than I need anything else. I need Him. I need Him to be evident in my life, evident in my thoughts. I need Him there so that I can trust in Him. And when I'm... guess where He is? Praise is powerful, amen? So what are you waiting for? Psalm 96, verse 8 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. A lot of modern Christians pray this way. Or like this. And they're waiting on God to give them something. And the last time I read my Bible, He already is. Worship is giving Him something. Amen? And we the reason why I praise is because He's worthy. That's why we do it. This is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. The story is told of a little old lady who entered a department store. As soon as she came in, she was surrounded by people. A band began to play. An executive came and put an envelope with 1,000 euros right into her hand. She was the 1 millionth customer to enter that store. The reporters and the TV cameras gathered around her to interview her, and they said, tell me, she asked, was one person asked, just what did you come in here for today? And the lady hesitated for a moment and answered, I'm on my way to the complaints department. Oh, let that sink in. Do you know God has showered us with rivers of blessing. Mercy, forgiveness, salvation from hell. Yet we're on our way to the complaints department. Did you know when we complain, we become blind to all the blessings that surround us? I believe that we're better than the 1 millionth customer, don't you think? We're a whole lot better off. Second thing about New Testament priests, you need a gift of praise. Hebrews 13:15, we were memorizing it, but let's go ahead and go there very quickly. Hebrews 13, verse 15. You need a gift. Hebrews 13:15. By Him, by Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. In the Old Testament, they used to bring the first fruits of their labors. They would be harvesting up the wheat, the barley, the grapes, the olives, whatever they were harvesting. And the first thing they would do is they would divide up, take 10% and more, and then bring it to God. It was the first thing they did. What's the first thing you say? What is the fruit of your lips say? You need a gift to bring to God. And it is something you say. I know you don't. You say, well, we're Irish. We don't talk like that. Get saved then. Don't worry about being Irish. Be Christian. Why don't you learn to say? I was kidding with Kathleen on Friday night. Talking about hallelujah. Amen. And I think she's learned a new word. That praise is no good if it's in private and nobody hears it. The sacrifice of praise, there is no sacrifice when nobody knows. But when it is public, when it is our gift to God, when you say to God, thank you, murmuring and complaining does not ever bless God. As a matter of fact, I believe it angers God. He killed some people who just complained one time in the Bible, a couple of times. Arguing and fighting doesn't bless the Lord. Contentious words don't honor Christ. As a matter of fact, you don't hear wholesome words. You hear fighting words. With God's help, we need to learn to fix this lips of ours so that we can praise God. It is something we say, and it is a gift to God. It's our chance to give back to God something of great value. Did you know we were saved to worship? Jeremiah 13:11. Just listen to this. It says, for as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory. But they would not hear. He says, I brought you so close to me. I have you closest to me. You know, they would wear those long flowing robes. But the girdle was something that was tight against the skin. God said, I brought you closer to me than anybody can see. And I said, I brought you there for a reason, and yet you didn't want it. Ephesians chapter 1 says this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, and to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom also after we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we again should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Why did He save us? To praise Him. Do we do it, though? Are we robots? I was saved to praise God, but do I do it naturally? If you're not a willing worshiper, then you're a defective product. If I have a watch, every time I reached over to look at my watch and it would turn away, and I'd flip over here and it would go away, I'd say, this is a defective watch. That hurts, right? This is a defective watch. Every time I'd go to look at it and it would turn away from me, I go, I got to get a new watch. Amen? If every time I got in my car and I went to turn it on and it wouldn't start, I'd say, it's a defective car. And when God looks down at His people that He has saved, He has redeemed, He has blessed, and they turn away from Him, we're defective. Do you know sinners aren't going to worship God? People who go to statues and they bow before statues and they honor statues and they praise through those statues, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, they are worshiping devils. They don't even know how to worship God. They're not going to be worshipped through sin. They're not going to be worshipped through half-hearted Christians. You know, if you got a bad attitude, you're not going to praise God. It's only going to be those who really love God who will praise Him. It's your choice. It's a free will gift to God. It needs to be a sacrifice. We already read the verse. But this gift is going to cost us, as we said, all month. Why is it called a sacrifice? Because it is your best gift. I can't emphasize this enough. Praise should be your best gift to God. We're supposed to take our best gifts and give them to God. And yet He usually gets the leftovers. He usually gets what nobody else wants. I actually read, it's sad, but some missionaries who had gone to Burma back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, they were in the worst of situations. They had no money. And a barrel came of gifts from churches in England. Oh, their hearts were so lifted, and they just couldn't wait to pop it open. They had two children, and they were like, oh, maybe there's something for us. And they popped the top open to look inside, and they reached in, and there was a sealed box. Opened up that sealed box. It was tea bags. But do you know what the problem? They were used. Somebody had got the idea, well, we've used the tea bags, but maybe some missionaries could use them now. Now, you know what? Those missionaries learned to be grateful. And they were grateful because they didn't have any tea. And so be it. Some people had sent some simple gifts for the children, kind of soiled baby dolls and things and a few non-fitting. And you say, that's terrible. The missionaries learned to praise God anyway. But what's sad is those are just mere humans. What do we end up giving God? I mean, if that affects you, go, well, that was not right. You know, then you need to think about what are we praising God with? What are we doing with our giving to God? Honestly, I wonder when we praise God, do we even mean it? Because I believe with all my heart, it'll never almost be easy to praise God. Maybe it will be on from time to time. What do you see in your life? A pastor was talking, and I wish I forgot my piece of paper. Let me do it here. No. I'll use this piece of paper. All right. Who's got a pen? You got a biro? Biro. Here we go. All right. Pastor sat in front of a group of men. He took a piece of paper, and he stood up and he said, what does everybody see? What do you think? Huh? What do you see? Huh? A black dot or a blue dot. Isn't that what you see? He says, is that all you see? And they all went, yeah. And he says, you're missing. The little dot has got your attention. There's a big piece of paper. And you've got your little dot problems. And God says, look at the big paper. Amen. We get distracted by our disappointments, our painful experiences, and we are prone to forget the innumerable blessings we receive from God that we've never deserved. You need to make it a sacrifice. You need to quit looking at the dots and look at the paper and go, my life is full of His glory. Keep going. We haven't gotten to the test yet. Fourth thing is, you need an altar. A place where our gifts are given to God. In the Old Testament, every sacrifice used a public altar. It wasn't private in the back garden where nobody saw it. It was a pile of stones. Now, I brought a few stones, and I set them up in a simple way. It was never, they did not use mortar. They didn't glue them. They would pile up the stones in a very rustic, very rough way. And that was the place where a sacrifice would take place. And did you know that the altar is where your gifts are given to God? And you say, oh, do I have to have an altar in my home? Yes, you do. Not a stone, though. Not a stone. The altar of a Christian, as I said, every Old Testament sacrifice was given on a pile of stones. But the altar of a Christian is not a pile of stones, but it must be public. That means when you praise God, your first altar has to be your heart. But that's not the last. The purpose of making your heart a place of sacrifice, a place where you say to God, thank you for what you unimaginably hate. Where in your heart you praise God anyway. You start there, but you do not stop there. It should progress into your home. Thank you for being my daughter. I had no choice in it. Thank you for being my wife. Thank you for being my husband. Thank the Lord for being part of this church. Thank the Lord for being faithful to the Lord. Thank you for being a co-worker. Public. Thank the Lord for everyone around you. You ought to thank God. I have it up here. You ought to thank God on your job. Everybody else is saying, we ought to go on a strike. You ought to say, I'm glad I got a job. Praise God. The lips of a Christian should naturally honor and bless God. Listen, my soul's been converted. I'm saved, amen? Amen? But I bet most of you, your lips aren't. I bet your lips need to get converted. Amen? I know a lot of Christians whose pocketbook hasn't been converted either yet. Their wallets are sealed shut. Their fists are clenched and their mouths are... You know, just it's just wonderful being thoroughly converted. Now, I think this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Many altars are broken down. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 36. Elijah has a huge task to try to get Israel as a nation back to God. What's he going to do? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36. Every eye was upon him. They had watched the prophets of Baal, which were false prophets, put on a huge performing show, and nothing happened. And then old Elijah, he's an old man by this time, he crawls up to the top of the hill. There's a pile of stones that are all fallen down. Look what it says there in verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, came near. Have I picked the right? I'm looking for where it says that he rebuilt. Am I got to go back here? Sorry. There we are, verse 30. Thank you. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. All the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the children of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the Lord's whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with those stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He fills it with water. And then verse 36, he prays. Look what he says. He says, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. I just do it what you're saying. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and even the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I like verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, yep, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. It worked, amen? But he had to rebuild the altar. He couldn't just get up there and say, let me preach for a minute. No, he had to rebuild that altar. Then he put a sacrifice on top, and then he says, now God, accept it. I have this thing. And what's the simple principle? The principle is, don't hide your praise. He stood out there and he says, everybody watch. I want everybody to see. I'm worshiping the one true God. And just like at work, at school, wherever you are, people are watching you, and you need to take it serious and go, they're going to see something good now. I just got fired, and I'm going to go out of the room going, praise God. Amen. That's the challenge of Christianity. Build up the altar. If your home has not a place of praise, rebuild the altar there. If church to you is boring, is rough, I'm trying to rebuild altars. You need to rebuild the altar so this place is a place of joy and praise. Rebuild some altars. If you're gonna be a good New Testament priest, you need a right attitude. Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse 15. You need a right attitude to praise God. Psalm 51 and verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a proud spirit. No. A broken spirit. You say, I'm messed up, Pastor. Good, you're in a good place. Oh, I'm all messed up. Everything's broken, falling apart. Amen. A broken and a contrite small heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good unto in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Am I going down? Yeah, 17. Oh, that's all I want. Oh, go back to verse 15. O Lord, there we are. I was looking for my verse. O Lord, open thou my lips. I can't even open them, Lord. My lips don't want to praise you. So would you help me? Open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, elsewhere I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering, because the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You cannot bring an offering with a critical spirit. But you know, when somebody has a problem with you, you know where the problem, you got to try and fix that thing. Now maybe they don't want to fix it, but you got to work at it so that your side is fixed. Amen? Amen. Because Jesus, we don't have time, Jesus said, if you come and you bring your offering to the Lord and you realize, you know what? There's a problem still between me and so-and-so. And I don't know why you brought it to my mind just as I'm bringing my offering, but now I know it's because I've got to go back and get it right. At least try to. So that when I bring my gift, God will accept it. It's a proper attitude. What does that attitude include? That attitude, I tell you what, we've already said, what did you bring to church this morning? Well, I'm doing fine. I got 40,000 euros in the bank. I just bought my fourth car, you know, and just got rid of my last kid, you know, and times are great. Is that what you brought to church? Probably not. You know what you brought to church? Probably a broken heart. Amen. Probably a hard week. Probably a lot of struggles and things you don't even want to talk about. Amen. Bring it and thank God anyway. That's what the sacrifice of praise is. And you do it, as we said, with a broken and contrite heart. But secondly, like a garment. Go to Isaiah 61. This is amazing. Isaiah, to the right. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, and we're almost through. And verse 3. Isaiah 61 and verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for all their ashes, the oil of joy for all their mourning and sadness. And the garment of what? For the spirit of heaviness. So you come into church, bring your heaviness, and you'll leave with a garment of praise. You bring your ashes, and you'll leave with, what's the opposite of the ashes? Beauty for all the ashes you had. You'll have the oil of joy for all the sadness. That they, look at the end of verse 3, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be, what's the last word? Which is praise. He'd like for you to lead differently than you came. Amen. You know the difference between you and a lot of other people? At least you came. There are some people who are sitting at home right now, and they're in they've got mourning, they've got sadness, they've got sorrow, they have ashes. And they'll keep that way all week long until next week, and they come into church and they leave and they go, man, why did I come last week and get it all taken care of? Amen. What we're being asked to do is, if I'm a New Testament priest, I'm going to have to exchange my attitude. Yes, you've got ashes. Yes, you've got mourning. Yes, you've got sorrows. Swap them out so that you can praise. Some people spend hours, gentlemen, getting ready to go out. Are you related to anybody like that? What's embarrassing is when it's you that takes an hour to get all your hair just perfect, you know? They're going to go meet someone. Maybe they're going to go shopping. Where are you going? I'm going to Super Value. Why? They will spend hours preparing to do some of those stupid things. And you won't spend time making sure your heart is right before you head out into the world. And make sure your face is shining with praise. You'll make sure it's shining with foundation. Whatever other layers go on top of that. I know a foundation is just the beginning. Amen. Some guys are saying, you wouldn't want to see my wife without her foundation. Amen. Oh, man. I had to have some fun. I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry, but I had to say I'm sorry. Anyway. You know, I can't stop. People ought to see a garment of praise on you. Amen. They ought to see a garment of praise on you. Say, well, I don't have one. Get one. Get one. Pray, God, open my lips that they may praise you. I don't want to, but I know I must. Amen. I'm getting ready to go outside there. I'm ready to meet people who have no hope. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ. And I may be the only walking, talking Bible they ever meet. And they're going to meet a good one. 1 Peter chapter 5. A proper attitude. You need to be, the Bible uses the word, clothed with humility. 1 Peter 5, 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, just have this attitude of being subject one to another. Somebody asks you to do something, do it. Well, that's not my job. That's not my table. Well, I wouldn't do that. Why don't you get so-and-so to do that? Why don't you just be subject one to another and be clothed? What are clothes for? Well, they're covering up something, covering up shame, but they also show people. You know, they also show who you are. If you're wearing, you know, you're wearing your trousers down to here, and I don't know. I don't want to go down there. What are you wearing? Are you wearing arrogance and pride? Are you just clothed with hardness? Does it just show you? Don't get near me. Stay away. You say, I didn't say that. Yeah, but you looked it. That's how you're clothed. Well, I'm not. Here's what you like. This is what you like, man. Here, I mean, I always pick on hymns because that's the beginning of your walk with God on a Sunday morning. Here you are. You're ready to pick up hymns, and you pick up the hymnal, and you're like this. Everybody else is singing. You're going, you are not clothed with humility. Amen? Amen? Oh, well, I got mine open. Nobody can hear you, and you're not doing anything. What's the point? It's oozing of an attitude, isn't it? It's oozing of an attitude. I didn't want to be here. My mom made me come. I'm just telling you, as soon as you're over with, I'm out of here. If you're saved, you are a priest of the Most High God. You are to offer the sacrifices of praise. That's what we're supposed to do. End of story. So, well, you don't know what I'm going through. I know what they went through. I know what that book tells me about. And I think they praised God, as we'll talk about in just a few seconds. Lastly, we're still on the background truth before I give you your test. You need to have a set time every morning and evening to praise God. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Chronicles 23. 1 Chronicles 23. Four Psalms. 1 Chronicles 23. And verse 30. Now, obviously, we ought to praise God all the time. Amen? David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. But I know to some of you, that's an impossibility. So here's the answer. Set two times. Look at 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 30. Speaking to the priest, and we won't go through the verses before, but he said, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at what? So the first thing you need to do is to stand up and say, thank you, Lord, praise God, I'm alive, I've got a job to do. Thank you for my wife, my children, my family. Thank you for this home, thank you for my rest. And just praise God for the first half hour. And then you can be a witch all day, amen? Then you can be Mr. Man, I'm not going to be happy. But at the end of the day, you need to go, it's time to praise the Lord. That's the evening, amen? Make it twice a day, and it'll change you. And you'll just say, man, it's more fun praising God than blasting. Set a good time. Now, I've handed out a page on three sacrificial gifts of praise to God. You got a pencil? Three events in your life that you need to get used to thanking God for. First one, the easy gifts. You know, it's a shame. You know, Brother Dan, do you know what the shame is? All three of these we should be able to do. But we don't even do the easy ones. We don't even take a moment when things are going good to praise God. Amen? So, the first sacrifice of praise is for the easy times. Those are when you have good things in your life, where God is blessing you, where there are amazing people in your life, and there are amazing things. You have a brand new grandbaby, amen. I mean, there's a North Irishman going, the top of the morning to you, the top of the morning to you, because he's happy, amen. You're going to do that. I'm going to get you to do that someday, amen. The easy gifts of praise are when we feel like being thankful. I just had a prayer answered. Oh, I just got a job. Somebody just gave me a hug. Somebody just told me they love me. Oh, man. Amen? That'll make your day, amen? And so you just redirect that praise to God and you go, thank you, Lord. And thank you for a bunch of people who just minister to me. Amen? Those are great. That's an easy time to praise God. Amen? Do it then. Do it. If it's easy, do it. When prayer is answered, when you get a job, I already give you the illustrations. Get up, catch up. Not there. Hold on. I thought it was on the bottom. When it is easy to thank God, when it is easy to praise God, worship God, and appreciate what He is allowing in your life, that's when you're giving an easy sacrifice of praise. Right now, I want you to list four or five things on your piece of paper. Do it right now. Don't be a rebel. Write down five things right off the top of your head that you could that are easy to thank God for. Your salvation, your Bible, good Bible preaching church. Write down five things right now. Boom, 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 boom. Let's go to the hard gifts now. Write down the things you're, man, thank God for your children. Thank God for, we live in a free country. I mean, there's just some things that you didn't have to do, and it's just good. Amen? Got good health? Thank God for it. Got a job? Thank God for it. I mean, you ought to be able to list 20 things. You ought to be able to list 200 things. Easy things. Secondly, the hard gifts. These are going to be the times when you lacked blessings, when God seemed to skip over you. When I was in Bible college, I had a time where, just like my son Joshua, I always make sure my children always experience all the struggles I had. Amen? That's the role of a parent. Amen? I didn't have any money for months on end. And one of my roommates got a letter in the post from somebody in his family and had a check in it. It had money in it. And he's going, woo, praise God, hallelujah. You know what the stinking problem was? I didn't get a check. How do you go, praise God, hallelujah, when there's nothing in your hand? Those are the hard times. Amen? Those are sacrifices of praise. Praise God anyway is to be our motto. When you lose things, not just your mind, but when you lose people, when you lose friends, and when you lose family. I think we have a great illustration in Job of that, don't we? Listen to chapter 1 in the book of Job. He had two intense waves of disaster come against his life. Then a Job arose, he rent his mantle, he tore his outer coat, he shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and he worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't think that he realized that was not all, because that was just after the first wave. When the second wave came, and his own health collapsed, and his wife said, will you not just curse God? Hasn't he done enough against you? Isn't it time to quit? But he said back unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. He was able to refrain from saying, this isn't fair. Instead, he said, nope, I'm still going to praise God. How about the Apostle Paul? Take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. These are the hard times. Philippians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 3, verse 6. I know people right now who are out of church. They're bitter. They critique everything. They find fault with everything. They're cursed with a whole aura around them of hatred and bitterness and sorrow. You know why? Because life's been hard. And they have not learned how to just praise God anyway. See, they want to blame their parents. They want to blame the preacher. They want to blame the church. They want to blame some Christian. They want to blame a brother or a sister or some a boss or the government. That's always good to blame. You know what the problem is? They could not sacrifice praise in the hard times. Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, watch Paul. Concerning zeal, before I got saved, I persecuted the church. I was zealous. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, I was blameless. I should have been happy. I should have been the best man in the world. But what things were gain to me, Chapter 3, verse 7. Those I counted loss. I added them up and they came up negative for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss, just for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them now but what? You look at the things that you've lost and you say, but that was good. Well, that was important. But that's what I wanted. That's what I knew I needed. That was not a bad thing. And yet it's not in your grasp. It's not in your life. It's not there. It's gone. Are you willing to say, it was dung anyway? It was dung anyway? What? That's what he said. I count them but dung that I may please, that I may win Christ. That's Paul. You know, he's glad to see it all go, just as long as he had Jesus. When it is hard to thank God, to praise God, to worship God, to appreciate what He is allowing into your life, that is when you're giving the hard sacrifice of praise. So right now, I need you to list some hard things. Nobody else is going to see them, but just write down some hard things that are hard to praise God for. Write down. You had a problem with your health. You want to be able to look at, but if it weren't for that problem, I never would have learned about the mercy of God allowing me to come out of that thing. And so now I'm living for God, and I take every day seriously instead of thinking my health is always going to be right. You ought to just look at, listen, the trouble, you're saying, how do you praise God for trouble? Because you know God is in charge. You don't say, wow, I'm glad somebody hit me today. No. But you realize that that event, God is in control. He's allowed it. Why don't you learn from it? Why don't you go ahead and praise God for it? You're not praising them for hitting you. Thanks, I needed that. You determine, all right, God. I mean, one of the hardest things I had to do was had to thank God for my dad leaving when I was 12 years old. Now, I didn't thank him that my dad was a jerk. I didn't thank him that he thought it was more important for him to go away with somebody else than my mom. I didn't praise God and say, thank you, God, for letting us live in a caravan for a year and a half. Because this was fun. Do you know when I got saved, I had to forgive my dad and I had to realize God was in control and that He was going to work all that I thought was going to be rotten out for good. So that I never, now to this day, I will not blame what I am and who I am on my dad. I will not allow myself to give one millisecond of a sense of, well, you know, I didn't have anything when I was 15 years old. Everybody else had this and that and that. I've got God. I've got more today. There is nothing I would like to trade to go back there. And I look back and I go, thank you, Lord. I probably wouldn't have gotten saved if my dad hadn't split. Because we had a perfect home. Money. We had potential. Everybody in my family were growing up and becoming lawyers and solicitors and engineers and all this stuff. And that was what I was going for. And if it weren't for my dad breaking shit, I never would have listened to that lady try to give me the gospel when I was 17 years old. You say, really? That's all I can account and go, God allowed that thing because He loved me. How could He love you allowing that to happen to you? I don't know. I just know He tells me over and over, I love you. And I might as well believe Him. Those are the hard things. I thank God. I look back on my past. You know all I do? I thank God for it. I don't look at one time where I go, except for that. I'll never. That's too much. I can't do that. Those are the hard things. Have you got five things that are hard? It's going to be hard to write them down because when you think about them, it brings up pain. And that's when you write it down and you go, that thing is not going to determine my joy. I'm going to now thank God for it and have a victory over it. Because that's the hard sacrifice of prayer. This is your test. You've got to be able to write something. And then we go to the possible gifts. Impossible gifts. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. First time I ever prayed, not my will, but thy will be done, was when my son Joel had spinal meningitis, and the doctors weren't really talking about it, and he was pale. It was dark, really. He wasn't getting oxygen. It was a scary time. And I went out of the car, and I began to angrily give out to God and say, God, whatever's wrong, don't take it out on him, take it out on me. Whatever's wrong, God, please intervene. Don't let my son suffer. Through about that half hour there, while Nita's in the hospital there waiting to see, and they're saying, you don't want to watch it. We're going to do a lumbar puncture. We're going to do all this to your son. How old was he at that time? 10 months. So I'm sitting out of the car. The first time in my life, I brought myself and I realized, that's how hard it is to pray, not my will, but thine. And I got to the place where I said, this is the hardest prayer I've ever prayed. That was just a touch of what we're about to read. Look at Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after those things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he cut and he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. When Abraham should have been bitter, angry, yelling at God, God, Abraham turns to one of his young men, and he says, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? And come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went forth both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, Dad, just got a quick question for you. And Abraham said with a heavy heart, here am I, my son. I seem to be saying that a lot these days. And he said, hey, behold the fire. I mean, he's only 12 years old. And he says, behold the fire. And we got some wood. But where's the lamb? I wonder if he had a sneaking suspicion. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went on. They went both of them together. You know what Abraham's doing? He's allowing God to take away what he loves. I've never been there. I was close to it. But I had to say, Lord, if you're going to take my son, not my will, but thy will be done, I'm going to go ahead and say it, and I'll live by it. Now God gave us back our son. Those are the impossible gifts. You said, how could any, that's impossible to praise God when somebody that you love, when somebody that's important is taken away from you. The same God who blesses us with good things can also take away good things. He's not a rubbish collector. He doesn't just take the rubbish from you. He did take my sins, amen? Sometimes he needs our worship, and he may take. And you say, Abraham learned to worship and praise God when things that were the utmost importance, of utmost value, the most priceless gift that he had been given from God, were about to be taken away. You need to look at the times that were the most awful times of your life. Don't say last week either. You need to look and say, that time in my life, the darkest time of my life, where I wanted to die, and I even tried. I need to say, I'm glad I didn't. And I thank God that God brought me through that valley. And I thank God that God has taught me more because of that valley. Amen? Amen. You need to write down right now 4 or 5 of the most hardest, impossible times in your life where you say, these aren't hard. These are impossible. But I'm going to offer them as a sacrifice of praise. While you're thinking there, I'll tell you the story of a young man named Joseph, who was his father's favorite son. And yet his brothers wanted him dead. And since they couldn't bring themselves to kill him, they decided to sell him into slavery for a few pieces of silver. That was hard. I don't know. I bet you all had a mean, evil older brother. Maybe some of you were the evil older brother. I don't know. But he had brothers who hated him and sold him. And that was, it'd be hard to say, brothers, I love you. That'd be hard. But then his slavery turned into prison, and Joseph's prison turned into death row. He's about to be executed for crimes that he was totally innocent of. And how can you thank God for that? But Joseph did. There in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, his brothers come to him on their knees saying, you know, Daddy told you to forgive us. And Joseph said, I already have. What you meant for evil, God has made for good. Joseph, who had been thrown down and trampled on and hurt over and over for 21 years, Joseph's able to look and say, "Woo! It turned out good, didn't it?" Amen. And he didn't wait until the end for him to praise God. He was serving and loving and honoring God the whole time through. He had a heavy heart. When he thought of his family, it grieved him. But he says, but God, you're going to work all things together for good. Amen? But looking at it, you say, that's impossible. But that's where you offer the sacrifice of praise. Have you written down something? When it is impossible to appreciate what He is allowing into your life, that's when you're giving the impossible sacrifice of praise. You should now have three sets of praises. Three sets of them. You say, how do you do this? You praise God not because it's easy, not even because it's hard or impossible, but just simply because He's worthy. And that settles it, no matter what category your problem is in. Because you know what's ahead of us? If the rapture doesn't occur, Brother Dennis, bedpans. Okay? Lovely thought for church. Nappies! Again. Amen. Intravenous tubes. You're going to be fed baby food. You're going to have people who are going to be around you, turning you, washing you. It's going to be hard. That's us. We live in an insulated world. We put people in the hospital. We put people in the home. We don't live with the results of life. And so we don't even know how to praise God for where we're at. But you know what? Through it all, I want to know how to praise God. I want to be able to say, you know what? Right now I'm walking around and I'm free. I'm able to get around. I can drive my car. There's going to come a time where I'm not able to drive my car and people are going to take me where I don't want to go. How do you praise God? Because He's worthy. In the good times, the hard times, and the impossible times. Here's your conclusion. If you're born again this morning, you've been made into a priest. You've been called of God to offer to God spiritual sacrifice. That is your calling. Brother Craig, you're called to be a pastor. Before I was ever called to be a pastor, I was called to offer praise. I've given you a short course on being a New Testament priest, on how you're to make spiritual sacrifices of praise to God. Will you offer that sacrifice right now? Will you take that list and in the silence of the next few minutes go through that list and say thank you, and with tears in your eyes and with ache in your heart, will you say thank you, I don't understand why, but thank you, I don't know how, but thank you, Lord, I even thank you for such and such. Will you just do that now? Is everybody looking at your list? Just take a moment, nobody looking around. This is a time of sacrifice of praise. Be a New Testament priest right now and offer it. And be transformed. I believe it'll transform your life. You've got some very good reasons to praise God. And the challenge is to make these things a gift back to God. Yeah, it's going to hurt you. Yeah, I'm asking you to do it out here in public. And I'm not asking you to get up here and give testimony, although if I did, you should be willing. It might help somebody. Maybe this is the first time that you ever allow God to adjust your attitude so that you become a New Testament priest. But just praise God. Are you going through your list? I did this morning. Will you set a time from now on, beginning of the day and at the end of the day, will you say, God, I'm going to make sure that I don't carry bitterness to the pillow. I'm not going to get up and carry yesterday's burdens into the next day. I'm going to thank you and praise you and trust you because you're worthy. Heavenly Father, just before we finish up and we stand and we sing, I pray that you would accept these sacrifices of our praise. I know there are people in this room who thought I was a fool and think this didn't match them or fit their needs at all. I can't fix them, God. But I pray that there are some people in this room who have been changed, who have been humbled, who have been burdened about how tight their lips are, and that they would be praying right now, oh God, open my lips that they may praise thee, because you're worthy. That's what salvation makes in us. You lifted us out of that miry pit, you set us upon a solid rock, and you put praise in our mouth. May we stop holding it back, because we're only going to do it when it's easy, but we will do it continually. Every person in this room realize this is the hardest thing to do, and yet it is the most liberating, the most life-changing. I do also ask, this has not been a message about forgiveness and being born again, but in this room there could be some who are searching. They're in darkness. They have no idea that in their heart of hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ does not dwell. They've been religious. They've prayed their prayers. They've done their best works. But in their heart of hearts, there's nothing there. I pray, Lord, that this morning they would have the courage to come and talk to me and find out that Jesus wants to be there. It's called being born again. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to convict them of their sin and to make them like Him. Lord, if somebody would get saved this morning, to make it all worthwhile. And if every one of us would let you change our lips, the world would know. In Jesus' name, amen.